This is Brian Wampler with another episode of the Chasing Tone podcast, a podcast about guitars, amps, effects, as well as a healthy dose of interesting off-topic discussions. Joining me today again is Blake Weiland, host of the Tone Mob podcast, entrepreneur, and effects pedal junkie, as well as Richard Oliver, Wampler's own man of many hats, longtime tone chaser, and digital entrepreneur. Hello, fellas. Good morning.
Hello.
Good evening for the UK audience.
Good afternoon. Evening, really. But it's light here. It's unusually light at the moment.
I can see it through your blinds. I can't normally see that.
We've had sun. Yeah, that's English sun creeping through there.
I'm surprised in days like this that if you're, you know, in an area like you are, you're just not like, not working today.
Yeah.
Going outside.
That doesn't work when you run your own business, Bri. I'd very, very much like to not work today. I've got about 15 things to do before I go to bed tonight,
though. I have a proposal for you. What you need is a laptop and a car battery and a converter on a mobile stand. That way you can just like push it down the sidewalk while you're typing and stuff, you know, completely mobile. Just hook it up to your phone. So you got, you know, wireless access.
I could hook it up to my bike and ride around. Nobody would throw things at me.
That's harder to type though when you're riding your bike. See,
Brian, don't laptops hold, just hear me out here.
Sure.
Don't they have batteries?
They do. They do. There is that. The bit. See, you know, you might need more battery power.
Yeah, on my
recharge somehow.
On my MacBook Pro now, I think you've got about 17 seconds worth of battery power before it kicks you out. So
you must be just out of warranty. Yeah. Warranty ran out.
Yeah. Yep.
This new Air has pretty crazy battery life, but you know, I don't expect that to last because it never does. So.
What is the battery life on the Air?
I don't know. I have only had to like purposely charge it once. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, that is ridiculous.
But I'm sure that won't last very, very much longer because, you know, it doesn't.
So
ever.
Before we dive into the kind of topics, interesting fact of the day came up from my friend who I need to use a code name for, so he should be known as Nutman. Which you will understand. It's not rude, by the way. Tesla made a lot of their profits from trading Bitcoin.
Yes.
Like 20-something percent.
20? Really?
Yeah. They made a vast sum of their stated profits by trading Bitcoin. Now, call me cynical, but if you run a company and whenever you tweet about Bitcoin, it goes up, and you make a lot of money by trading that Bitcoin. Seems a little bit stacked against the little guy there, right?
I mean, it's all fake. None of it's real. It's all made up.
Wait, are you telling me that I can't just like hold a Bitcoin in my hand? Is that what you're saying?
Or a dollar at this point, hardly.
Best. I mean, yeah, representation of the dollar, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you did have some Bitcoin, you might be able to afford Jimi Hendrix's amplifier that's up for sale on Reverb. Did you guys see
that? Was it his amplifier or was it a guitar?
It's an amplifier and a guitar. I think I've got the amplifier. I thought I had it.
Oh, it is. It's a 69 Super Lead and his 62 Jazzmaster.
Yeah.
For sale.
Hook me up with that Jazzmaster. Woo.
Well,
you know what? I think I need to get a side hustle of some sort of side job.
Well, first we invent the Womp coin, which is our new fungible token.
Then we'll have the $1 million for it.
That's right. Yeah.
Then we get to tweet about it saying,
yep.
I now accept Womp coin for strings and barbecued meats.
That's right.
And then we've created that perfect closed loop, Bri.
Mm-hmm. I like this idea. It's a good
perfect
plan.
Master plan.
It couldn't possibly fail.
I've been thinking about it for all of this afternoon.
I have a little bit of random crypto thing that happened this last week. And it shows, you know, how dumb I am, but also how lucky I am sometimes. I had an okay amount of Litecoin. And you guys remember when I had the smoke damage here a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I lost what they call the paper key for your wallet.
Yeah.
And so I kind of tried to put it out of my brain. I was like, ah, that's just gone. And it was a decent amount, but not enough to, like, you know, financially ruin anybody. But enough that you'd be upset. And while preparing to leave for JHS last week, I found it. I thought it was gone. I thought the paper key was gone. And I realized that I'd actually made two backups and I had forgotten about the second one. And so, you know, it's not that exciting, but it was like the ultimate version of finding $20 in your couch. I was like, right. Whoa, hey. And it's kind of nice because when I looked at the history, if I had sold at any point in between the time that I had lost the paper key and now, I would have lost money. But since I unintentionally hodled for that long, right. It actually was up. So I was like, all right, well, I guess it's a good time to get out.
So basically what you're saying is lose all of those keys for all of your crypto for, you know, 5 years.
2 years.
2 years. 2 years.
Yeah. And then find it again. And then you'll unintentionally hodl.
That is one way to do it. So JHS, you were just on the JHS show, Blake.
Yes.
What was your experience like with that?
Oh, it was so fun. I had such a good time. It also made me realize that they are so set up. Like, some people have accused them of the live videos not actually being live because of how well they're put together.
Mm-hmm.
It is 100% live. They have all of those stingers preloaded into a board that they can, you know, tap in and switch out of willy-nilly. It's all as legit as it gets. It's like a broadcast situation in there. I was really impressed with the setup. I mean, they have obviously thousands of pedals, more gear than you could possibly wrap your mind around, but I was impressed at how well they were set up just to produce content. They had a whole team in there working on it, and it was awesome.
It sounds like it's running almost like a second business.
I would say that it is. It's almost an independent, like the factory down under. It's a two-story situation.
Okay.
The pedal building's down low, and the offices and the media production are up top. And they're actually getting ready to move. They're looking around to move into another space because they are crammed in there.
Really?
Yes, it's a pretty big building, but they just have so much going on that they're absolutely crammed in there. But what was also really nice to see, and, you know, it's been a while since I've been at another place of employment, but everyone seemed really stoked,
good.
Which was cool. I mean, it was like everyone seemed like they were having a pretty good time. I mean, of course, I'm sure there's, you know, it's a job. I'm sure there's good days and bad days, but everyone genuinely seemed like happy to be there. And that was really refreshing to see in a place of employment.
Yeah, Josh seems like he'd be a pretty good guy to work for.
Yeah, it was chill, but everybody was doing their thing. It wasn't like everybody was walking around just horsing around the whole time. Everybody was clearly doing stuff and working and like engaged, but they were just very engaged. It was a really cool, really, really cool experience. I feel really lucky to have been asked to do that. It was a trip.
What's your thoughts on, because I know you played with them as well musically. Mm-hmm. What was your thoughts on that? Like, did you guys plan things out at all? Like, hey, let's do the, I got this riff that I wrote, or, I mean, was it completely off the hip?
So we did a dry run through of about 10 minutes before we actually went live, but that was mostly talking. That was just like making sure the camera equipment was all working and making sure the switchers were working and making sure that we had sound and all that jazz. So we did a 10-minute dry run as if we were live. We just basically pretended we were. And we did a really short, like a minute and a half jam. So that first jam that you heard if you watched the video, was sort of rehearsed. Josh was like, I'm going to do this. And it was like, okay, I'll do this. And then everything else from there was completely off the cuff. There was absolutely no preparation. And that was nerve-wracking for me a little bit because that's the first time I've played with anybody in like 5 years.
Wow. I did think that might be taking you slightly out of your comfort zone, but you nailed it. But more importantly, how many species of creature did you consume? It's less than five. I'm disappointed, Blake. Come on.
I had only two species of creature. Cow and pig.
Ah.
Yeah.
Multiple varieties of, or were you only there long enough to have one set?
I had multiple varieties
of
those things, yeah. But and the best one was actually in my ride to the airport. Long time, and I know he listens to Chasing Tone too, but long time Tone Mob supporter, Dustin. Shout out Dustin. I said Justin and Dustin the same time. Dustin, he come and picked me up from JHS and brought me barbecue from Q49. And I had brisket and burnt ends while traveling to the airport and nerding out with Dustin for the first time in person.
Sitting in his car, your fingers are all greasy and barbecuey, and you're like wiping them on the side of the seats. Oh, he doesn't notice.
I'm not sure I'd ask for brisket and burnt ends over here. They might get the brisket right. I'm not sure what ends you would get and how they'd been burnt. So sounds nice.
A lot of people don't know what that is. It's actually it's literally the ends of the brisket. And they cut them off and they chop them up. So it's like the little crispy bits.
Right.
Yeah.
Brisket's not really big over here. We get it in fancy Tex-Mex style restaurants, but that's about it. You won't get that on a standard menu over here. But I'm glad you enjoyed your little trip. Where is it that I refuse to say their name because I'm the only member of this team that hasn't got a box full of T-shirts. So where is it that you visited this person who makes these videos?
Kansas City, Missouri. And I found out a thing about Kansas City. I knew that there was Kansas City, Missouri and Kansas City, Kansas. I knew that. What I didn't know is they're basically the same city.
Yeah.
You go there and there's literally a road that divides them. That's the only difference. They're the same city.
So weird. Yeah, you could literally live on the other side of the street in another state.
Is Kansas somehow referenced in the Wizard of Oz? Because I feel that is my only reference point for Kansas.
Yes.
I know nothing else about Kansas other than Dorothy was not in Kansas, or maybe she was, and it was all a dream. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much nailed it.
Ah, okay.
Yes, in fact, that's exactly what the JHS headquarters looks like. It looks like the little house that Dorothy was in, basically.
So are you implying that the leader of said company is like the Wizard of Oz, and in fact, is not a real person, but is a much smaller person behind a facade?
I can tell you he's not a smaller person. The thumbnail for that video, he is sitting in a chair. And I'm standing up, and we're basically the same height.
On a crate and a stepladder.
So, yeah. And it was like, oh, we got to, Josh, you're going to have to sit down.
Blake sit down more.
Yeah, it was.
That's awesome, man. No, I did see the video. It was very, very cool. I think more drummers should wear Rebel helmets. I think that was quite a cool.
Was he wearing a helmet?
I believe he was wearing like an X-Wing fighter helmet. Yeah.
I just thought that was just Nick. I didn't notice. Yeah.
It probably provides some ear protection whilst also, improving your nerd score and chance of flying an X-Wing at a Death Star.
I was going to say, you never know whenever you have to get in the X-Wing. You got to be prepared.
I mean, it's a good idea. But yeah, I didn't notice he had anything on his head. That's weird.
Maybe they put it all in post. Maybe you're lying to us and it wasn't lying.
They edited it
was all CGI. You were just there with some tennis balls on sticks.
It's all green screen. Yeah, it was cool. That was also like the most time I've ever spent playing direct. I've hardly ever played direct. A little bit, but...
So you had no sound from the cabinet at all?
None. Yeah, I was going straight into the two notes.
Really?
Yep.
Fascinating. Sounded good.
Yeah, I mean, it's great stuff.
Yeah.
The feel is still like throwing me off a little bit, but that's just because I'm used to cranking up amplifiers 2 feet from me.
You know, I had such a hard time whenever I started using like interfaces like that because there's always a little bit of latency and it's really small.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, if I was doing any sort of picking fast, the timing of hearing it would just throw me off just a little bit. And then I would just be completely off time. So And yeah. that took me a while to get used to. And it's, and again, it's not two notes. It's just anytime you're using a device like that, there's a little bit of latency.
Well, instead of it being an analog thing that just happens, you know, just reacts immediately, mm-hmm. we're literally dealing with something having to do a bunch of computation
right.
and then decide what it's going to output versus yeah. it just being a signal that goes boom, boom.
Yeah.
And, you know, this goes that's, to the one thing and goes to the other thing. You know?
And that's something I don't think a lot of people know about digital devices. Whenever you don't have that analog dry through and it's everything's converting to digital and then back to digital and back to analog. When you start stringing several of those in line, that latency adds up. So you can actually get a decent amount of latency depending on how many of those devices you have on your pedal board.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say this is kind of relevant to some of the discussions we've been having over DSP-based pedals recently, right, Brian? Because mm-hmm. I'm riding thinking the ones that we've been looking at and playing with all had that analog through, right?
Pretty much. I think the Terraform is all digital. I think that is all digital.
Interesting.
We had to for some of those algorithms.
Right, right. But yeah, I'm like on page 3 of my book because it's dense reading. I am so far behind on understanding these technologies.
That's it. But what's his name? Self, right? Doug Self.
Yes.
Right. His books are fantastic for learning this sort of stuff, but they are a little heady.
They're not easy going, mate. I'm not going to lie.
But if you read like The Art of Electronics. And then you read Doug Self's books, you're like, oh, this is so good. The Art of Electronics is like, it's like reading, I don't know. Think of a language that you don't know anything about. Like for me, I don't know.
English for you, Brian, surely.
Yeah, yeah. European English for me. It's like reading that and then translating it to hillbilly, which is what I understand mostly.
No, I get you.
Got to throw some more y'alls and well, how about that's in there, you mm-hmm. know?
I found out I had a hard time with Russian over there at JHS. So there's a lot of Russian words. I'm like, I don't know what that says at all.
Well, that's a complex language, and obviously the written form of it is also incredibly difficult to understand if you are mm-hmm. not well versed in it. I know nothing. My daughter's boyfriend tried to learn Russian though. For no reason other than he liked the language, which I always thought was a bit strange, but that's daughter's boyfriends for you, I guess.
Yeah. My son was born in Russia, so we, you know, we adopted him.
Right, yeah.
When he was a baby. And so we went over there for almost a month.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. So, I mean, I learned a little bit of Russian. This has been 20 years ago. So I learned a little bit of Russian at that time, but it was a fascinating experience. I'd never been out of the United States at all. And that was
the first place he went was Russia.
Yeah, I was like, you know what I need to do? Go to Russia now.
That's just quite the culture shock.
Things worked out. It, you know what? That actually gave me a whole new insight on the world. Like, because that, I mean, keep in mind, I grew up in a very small town. Basically, in my town, not too many people kind of escape. You know what I mean? Like,
is your town actually a prison, Brian? Because it's escape normally used with prisons.
I like that's a good analogy. Yeah. So I, you know, my whole paradigm of the way the world worked and life in general was completely different. And when I went to Russia, lived there for a month, and then came back, I had a whole new appreciation for not only where I lived, but also just the way the world worked and how radically different, you know, other people can live.
I'm a little disappointed you didn't say, and also I became one of their champion bear wrestlers, but...
Ping pong. That's my thing. Champion ping pong player.
Are you, though?
No. Oh. I suck at ping pong. I suck.
Damn, I was almost impressed for a second.
No.
And travel broadens the mind, as they say, Brian. You know, hopefully when this lockdown ends... there will be some traveling happening, but at the moment, I don't really fancy getting on a plane anywhere.
Yeah. I hear that.
Yep. Traveling, I love traveling. So this has been a really weird period. Even just going, I haven't been to Russia or anywhere that's like not westernized, like roughly. But just seeing how different people on the other side of the country operate differently than me is like,
yeah.
Like going to New York City, I was like, this is a different planet.
Yeah.
Than where
it
I'm
really
from.
Is. It really is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it gives you like forces a perspective that I think most people don't get. And yeah. I mean, you know, because traveling in a lot of ways, it can be a necessity, but it's also, you know, a privilege to be able to do it. It's not everybody has the time or the ability to do it. So it's kind of a weird thing. And when you talk to people who never have left, you know, wherever they came from, that you can tell that a lot of them have a hard time processing that other people don't experience the same things.
Totally agree. And you know, there is no doubt, as I say, travel does make you a more interesting and probably a more interested person because you see more of the world and you find your perceptions challenged. And definitely going to a non-Westernized country is very interesting. I've spent a fair few months over in India and it's totally different to life here. And you realize how privileged we are in the West. But my granddad, he remarried when he was 87. And the lady, and I'm not going to tell you the other stories, but the lady he married was 85. So, you know, they were very interesting people, but she'd never left the country. I think she basically ate the same food her entire life and had never left the country and had no desire ever to. And I just found that fascinating and odd in a, you know, in a peculiar way, but I know you've got it over here. I think less than 50% of your countrymen have passports, right? I think that's the statistic.
No idea. I don't have a clue. Right now, I'm one of those. Mine's expired, so I got to get
too.
A new one.
Yeah.
Well, on this podcast, it appears that only 33% of us have a passport, so interesting.
I need to do that really soon. Thanks for the reminder.
And yeah, Brian, you need to get yours sorted out so you can get to the UK and, you know, we can do that tour that we've planned.
Get to the UK to hang out with you. I think I'm busy that day.
Oh, that's harsh, man.
I'm not. I'll come over. I'm not busy that day.
Thank you, Blake. It's nice to know that somebody appreciates me amongst
I want to come over there and eat black pudding with you. That's
oh, my gosh. That's all...
Well, that's a perfect time for me to update you on my adventures in the world of plant-based meat I did decide to experiment because I thought this, it's less fatty and better for you than processed meat. So if you're eating sausages or like some sort of processed chicken type product, which when you've got kids, and even though mine's a teenager, they still have a kid's diet, you kind of have to stock that stuff. I thought, I'm going to make the swap and everything processed will now be plant-based. And I have. It's actually really nice. We've had like plant-based sausage rolls and which is a delicacy over here, Bri. Honestly, they're as good as the real thing. They're 99% as good. Tonight, I'm going to try a plant-based burger. And if it's any good, then, you know, I'm still going to eat steaks. I'm still going to eat chickens and like, proper nice meat that's been hopefully responsibly farmed and grass fed and all of that good stuff, but anything processed and crappy that I used to eat is now going to be plant-based and hopefully might lose a few pounds and save the planet a little bit in the process.
So do they make plant-based Cheetos by chance?
Yes, they do. So we've talked a lot about how I, you know, I am quite a carnivore.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite snacks is actually a plant-based, basically Cheeto.
Really?
Yeah. It's made by a company called Hippies.
Oh, they're great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Vegan white cheddar. I didn't even know they were that when I bought them. I was just like, I'm hungry and I'm going to buy these. And because I was running through the Nashville Starbucks, I was just like, I'm hungry and there's nothing else here. I'll grab these.
Let me give you a warning from a guy who, you know, maybe one day was a little bit stoned, maybe tried to eat his way through a few too many of these lentil-based crisps. They go through you, my friend. You mix that with a coffee and forget about it, all right?
Well, that's funny. I did just that. I grabbed a black coffee and a bag of those and... I can confirm, but they are good.
They are really nice, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Then he destroyed JHS's bathroom and got kicked out.
I have a real love for actual Cheetos, though, because they're like a delicacy over here. I think I told you before, I paid like the equivalent of $15 for three bags because I just needed to get my daughter some, and I thought, well, why not? But yeah, we have the equivalent over here is called Wotsits. They're not quite the same. Cheetos are better. You don't do many snacks better than us, but that is one of them for sure. But yeah, I honestly recommend, like, if you've got processed meat, try some of the plant-based equivalents, Brian.
I'll give it a try. I've often thought that you know, plant-based things in general are what food itself eats, you know. So I tend to like
Brian is flexing his muscles at the moment just to make sure we all know that he is the apex predator.
I am? I'm not flexing anything. Maybe my butt cheeks or something. I don't know.
Can we edit that bit out? I don't think our listeners need to think about that. Oh, no, I've just made it even more apparent.
Yeah, you're just – stop it, Richard. I've learned – you haven't been doing this as long as I have. I've learned to just let that pass
right
without mention so that maybe the listeners can forget about these atrocities. Right.
Plant-based meat, Bri.
Mm-hmm. I'm right on it. Let me just go down to my local butcher and ask him for that.
Well, I mean, my other half was like, yeah, but it's probably made out of – like nuclear fission and hairs. I was like, no, it's good stuff. She's like, well, I'll check the ingredients. And it is, it's like pea protein and lentil protein. So it's kind of some space age technology gone into it. It's not cheap. Have no doubt it's more expensive than its meaty equivalent, but saving the planet's not cheap. I'm now going to.
However, the protein profiles of vegetable-based products are not complete proteins, I don't think, are they?
No, that is correct. That is one of the problems. You have to make sure that you get a variety of different ones. If you're going to go hardcore plant-based, you need to make sure that you get all of your amino acids. So you're not going to be able to do that from one source. You're going to have to make sure that you get it from multiple different sources.
Which is why I would never go hardcore, because I can't be bothered to make calculations and chemistry when I'm planning my weekly shopping. It's hard enough to try and get, you know, I've got my wife and my daughter, who I do the sort of online shopping with, trying to get them to agree on 7 meals a week's hard enough, right? So never mind adding a chemistry session. So no, I will always eat steaks and nice, properly. You know, I'm not a vegetarian, but I think this is the little bit I can make as a concession, and it may have some health benefits. Let's see.
All right. That's a fascinating section of Chasing Tone podcast. Man. Wow. Cryptocurrency, dietitian stuff.
Look,
man.
I need a dietitian. Great. So you
all stuff that we're super experts
I tried
in
to you, talk about Jimi Hendrix's amp, and you just went off into the weeds.
Yeah, Blake, it's your fault.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
And you kept mentioning that other company. So, you know, let's get back on point. And the other thing that this probably hit everybody's inboxes this week is there was a bit of an issue at Reverb, I think, because they told me all my details had been leaked.
I know. It's like, it's almost like all our details are leaked anyways through Facebook and Instagram. YouTube,
right.
Weird.
Google. So odd.
But I hope you guys got it and it wasn't just me.
Richard Oliver, I did your details.
Yeah.
I mean, I change my passwords all the time anyways, but I went ahead and changed it just in case. But ultimately, I mean, I know I'm literally being tracked every second that I'm anywhere near my phone.
Not with iOS 14.5 though, right?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, they just changed that, didn't they? But apparently Facebook still works, so they didn't. I don't know how that happened because Facebook, you know what I mean.
But yes, and talking of Reverb, you also then sent me a hideous picture, which was actually from the marketplace, of a blue acoustic with a Strat scratch plate.
That's one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Why? Who on earth does this atrocity?
And tears are still coming out of my eyes because my eyes don't know how to process that image.
It's not good. It's one of the most hideous thing. I don't know. It's not the weirdest thing I've ever seen in a guitar, but it's one of the worst. That's the way I would describe it.
It could have been even worse if they had a floating bridge Floyd Rose on this acoustic.
I think we need to start a new section on the podcast, a weekly, the most hideous guitar-based thing I saw this week section. Needs a snappier title. I'll work on that. Right. But
need a good jingle for that, yeah. too. So you can just write a quick song around that.
I think challenge accepted. And, of course, if any of our listeners wanted to back me up, because I can't sing, and make me a jingle, go for it.
We all know that our listeners, Penelope and Nick Scott from, on the Wampler Tone Group, they'll probably have some sort of graphic for us. For that.
Yeah, they'll have a meme. They'll have a meme cooked up in no time for this.
So probably the other thing, because by the time this goes out, actually, we're going to be very close to it. But if not, 30th of April is the launch of that pedal movie, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Anyone know anyone who was in it?
No.
Mm-mm. Nope. Never heard of it.
Never heard of them. Come I have on, an man. IMDb page now, which is weird.
Are you on an really? IMDb page?
Everybody that was in it.
So do I have an IMDb page?
You got an IMDb. Well, I mean, like, you have a credit. So I think you have to go in and actually, like, set it up with your image or whatever. I haven't done that.
In other words, Blake set up his own IMDb page.
Well, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that right after I make my own Wikipedia page.
Yeah. That's right.
Why does it refer to you as Lord Blake Weiland the Seventh? Come on.
Because that's my real name. It comes from my German and Irish background.
Steady.
I'll be ding dong, I do. How about that?
Look at that, huh?
I'm basically famous at this mm-hmm. point.
Huh. I would ask for your autograph, but I don't want it.
Do you want my autograph in the bottom of a check? I love those kind of autographs.
I definitely want that. I've never seen that, Brian. That would be very rare. I'd probably have to frame it, actually.
That's my favorite thing to say whenever I confront, like, you know, we meet a lot of artists doing what we do, and they're like, anytime someone said, so do you want an autograph or anything? I'm like, at the bottom of a check, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know,
and then I laugh so they aren't offended normally, but I'm pretty offensive and I generally speak before I think. So not a good trait, by the way, not a good trait.
I'm the same, actually. I process all my thoughts by speaking them. Which is why if I have to sit down and concentrate and be quiet, I just rumble off into the weeds again. It's like, no, can't do that. Can't concentrate. I remember in sociology, that's either, I forget what personality type that makes us, but yeah, that's
the awesome type. It's the awesome type.
Maybe basically. For you, not so much for me. Although,
Go ahead.
I was going to say, although, according to the text we exchanged yesterday, you made me do something that makes me more awesome as a husband. And Anna doesn't yet agree.
Okay. I made you do something.
What did you make him do?
He made me buy something, and I bought it. Finally, after weeks of prevaricating, I bought the thing that he's been... That sounds really bad. It makes me better as a husband. I bought something.
I'm not sure how this works exactly. This is very...
I bought a guitar. I bought...
That makes you better as a husband? Wait a minute.
I think I've taken this so far out of context at this stage, we probably have to follow your previous advice and just change the subject subtly because I'm not digging myself out of this hole.
All right, so tell us about this perfect new guitar.
Well,
this awesomely fantastic, perfect new guitar that your good friend Brian Wampler has been talking about for months now.
Well,
tell
I think,
us about this.
I think you just gave the game away in your final statement. I found an Epiphone 335 from our good friends at Anderton's in stock. And I then emailed them, and within 24 hours, I had bought said guitar. So that is nice. On its way to me.
Yes.
Perfect. Oh, man, I went about that the wrong way. I have lots of regrets.
That's right. There'll be plenty of twitterings about you. It's fine.
Well, it'll change it from being twitterings about our new pedals. That's a nice thing.
New pedals? I'm not coming out with new pedals. What are you talking about?
No, none at all. None this year, ever. And speaking of which, I saw a little release from Victory and our friends at Two Notes again.
Tasty little.
They've
tasty
made little thing. And I love their graphics. I'm a big sort of fan of that sort of art style anyway. The just really nicely drawn out monsters of your style.
I love that stuff.
It looks great. It's one of my favorites. And I love classic British sci-fi. So just the whole thing really gels nicely with my kind of Captain Nemo. Well, that's not British, but you know what I mean.
I was going to say, is that British? I don't think that's British.
It feels British because we used to have nothing other than that on TV in the 70s. But, you know, the whole kind of John Wyndham, H.G. Wells kind of steampunky.
Why don't you tell the audience what it is, because they still don't know.
Oh, yeah. Brian, do you know what it is?
Well, I mean, so you put Victory and Two Notes pedalboard amp, but I'm looking for... Is there a knob on there that adjusts the IRs?
I saw it just in passing. It's the Kraken, right? Amp, which Kraken. Is an amp they already have, if I'm not mistaken. But now it's available in pedal format, basically.
So is it an IR loader as well? Or
see, this is why we do our research before the podcast, not during.
You do it on the show.
You didn't give me a link. You gave me a picture that's highly pixelized.
Oh, did it? Did it pixelize it?
Oh, it's like 200 by 300 or something silly.
Y'all got any more of them pixels?
If anybody has any pixels out there, email it to podcast.
Send us some pixels so Richard can have enough to send pictures with. We need more pixels.
I'm pretty sure if you go onto Facebook, it will be everywhere.
Probably so. I bet it is on the Victory page.
Kraken plus six virtual. No, that's just the way it is. Yeah, it's on. I'm looking at
this is
Lee's
great
page
podcasting.
Now.
Yeah. Everyone, hang on. We're just going to Google for a few minutes, okay?
This is why we get the 1-star reviews, Brian. I've told you this. But yes, a entire 2-channel Kraken plus 6 virtual cabs into a pedal. That's essentially the headline here, right? I mean, if only we like knew someone at Two Notes or something.
Right.
That'd be great, wouldn't it?
The brand new V4 Kraken guitar amp, a V4 preamp partnered with a 180-watt Class D power section. That means something to Brian. With reverb and the Two Notes Dyne IR cab sim tech.
And it's $1,000.
What's that in old money?
I don't know.
No, do I.
1,500 pounds.
Something like that.
Kilograms.
No, it's probably about 750 pounds. I'll have a look now.
Yeah, whatever it is. I don't know.
But it's a tube pre and then a solid state power amp. And I'm looking at it. Oh, with an effects loop. We've got, a balance line out also, if you got to do that kind of thing.
So it's 1/50th of a Bitcoin, basically.
Okay. Oh, wait. Now I'm really confused. On one, I see two different prices, so now I'm confused.
Uh-oh.
It's on the same page, too.
Maybe it's a choose-your-own price. Which price do you want to pay?
Well, I want the one that's almost $50 cheaper, or a little over $50 cheaper. I don't know why they've got two different prices here.
Different types of... Mojo costs money, Blake, you know? So,
and I'm just going to correct myself. Mojo. I'm pretty sure that the Release the Kraken was written by John Wyndham, who is a British sci-fi novelist. And I just threw in Jules Verne and Captain Nemo because I am a complete and utter expletive deleted.
Yeah, Nemo was cool. Finding Nemo is a fantastic movie. Finding that's what you're talking Nemo. About, right?
Yep. No?
Yeah, that's it. 100%. That's the one. I'm just trying to see. Yeah, it's
an amp,
Kraken
it's a pedal,
tube
it's
head
both.
In a pedal format is what it is. And it looks really awesome.
Again, yes, it is a pedal format. It's not really a pedal, is it? I mean, it's the size of a pedal board. It's massive, right?
No, but it's a small amp. It's pretty small.
It's a small amp. It's a big pedal. Skin that
totally
whichever
use
way
that
you
as
want.
A fly rig type situation, and it would probably sound amazing. That's my guess.
I like the fact they've got the bars to sort of protect your foot from hitting things. I was thinking about that earlier. On a pedal, that's kind of not really necessary, but on an amp, which is powering your whole rig essentially, that's really essential to stop you from accidentally kicking the master volume up into like ear deafening levels or something.
Yeah, and at 180 watts, it'll do that.
Yeah, there's a
it'll
lot of ear
things.
Deafening levels.
Mm-hmm.
Well, keep in mind it's Class D.
That's true.
What does that actually mean?
It's just the way that power is handled is the easiest way of explaining it.
What's the best, Class A or Class D?
Define best.
Cleanest.
Cleanest? Hell, I don't know. Probably digital. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, probably digital. But you don't want it. You don't want it completely clean. Completely clean is pretty bad.
Right.
But not bad. But for a guitar player, you don't want super, super clean.
So Class A is used on sort of high-end audio gear, right? That's what you'd normally get in like a home cinema amp or something like that, right?
Right. Do I look like I make home audio? I have no idea.
Do they still do that? Is that even a thing in the Bluetooth age?
Honestly, I really don't know. As far as like home audio stuff, I don't know. When I mean, I've looked at this sort of thing before and I've always thought, okay, Class D is a good economical way of doing it, but digital has its advantages as well. Mm-hmm. I would rather, so when people think of Class A, they think of like Vox type stuff, right?
Single-ended. Yeah.
Single-ended. Mm-hmm. But technically a transistor's Class A as well, just because of the way, again, it's single-ended, the way the power is handled. But just because it's Class A, so when you say Class A boost, a lot of times it's just marketing BS.
Right.
I mean, it's true, pretty much, but I mean, some would argue that a Vox actually is not Class A. But anyways, it doesn't mean that particular pedal is going to sound like a Vox-style amp. But sometimes some people market them that way.
I get you. No, yep. Yeah, and yeah. I am very ignorant when it comes to some of the technologies, which is why I have the book you recommended.
Well, I mean, and you know, to be fair, I don't know that much, outside of guitar pedals. Like that's my realm.
But I'm gonna look
once
it
we start
in
getting
book.
Into high end audio, I fast forward through those chapters.
Yeah, what people don't realize is the picture of the gramophone on the belt. That's Brian's home hi-fi system. Yes. I just asked him to take a picture and I traced it with some crayons.
Yes. Yes, it is. I love the way it handles high-end audio. It's fantastic.
I have a whole section on it. Hold on.
I was going to say, is this section of the podcast where you just read the book quietly?
I was
going to
say,
you're
just opening the book and reading.
You're literally just
textbook?
reading the book.
There are many classes. It goes to Class H in this book.
Class H?
Class S. What? I don't know any of this.
Well, I love Dr. Z stuff, so I like Class C. How about that?
Class D. These amplifiers continually switch the output from one rail to the other at a supersonic frequency. I mean, I've already switched off.
Right. Right.
Wait, I wanted to know more. I was already... Read the whole thing. What are you doing to me?
Yeah. Yeah, the whole...
If you
want to
hear
the
whole
chapter.
Thing, you have to come back to next week's episode for sentence two of Audio Engineering Explained.
We are going to lose everyone on this episode. This is
people complain about us being boring, Brian. Now we will really be boring.
Right? You want to see boring?
I'll show you boring.
Yeah,
we'll bore you to death.
Blake, I really wanted to hear your thoughts on. I sent you a link about how TikTok chooses which songs go viral.
Oh man, yes, that was really interesting. I kind of assumed that it would work that way. But it's interesting that they're just like saying like, yeah, we basically use algorithms to figure out what people are spending the most time listening to. And then we push that harder. But, they're just saying it.
And they're also curating like, okay, we have an artist. Let's push them through this algorithm. That way they get famous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is, I mean, it's kind of the new gatekeeper, right? It's almost like it's kind of record company-ish in 1980.
It's very record company in 1980.
Yeah.
Yeah, like... We're going to choose which songs get on the radio based on who greases our palm. I don't know if there's actually money exchanging hands in this case, but based on who our buddies are, based on these relationships, and we're going to shove that on through to millions of people, potentially. It seems just like, you know, history repeating itself.
Yes.
I'm surprised to see them be as upfront about it, though, as they are. This is just all stuff we assume. Because, for instance, the infamous blue check on Instagram for that.
Yep.
So it doesn't matter all that much, but it kind of carries some weight. I've tried to get it multiple times, and I'm not famous by any stretch, but if you Google me, I do pop up, you know, like it's,
well, you've
it's
got
there.
A huge, I mean, by a lot of standards, huge Instagram page too, though.
You've got an IMDb page. Shut the hell up.
Right.
I'm the least famous person here. I don't have any IMDb pages.
But I know you've tried to get verified before too. They have a way you can submit. And there's been plenty of other brands and companies that I've worked with that are easily recognizable that should be able to get that, you would think, if you go off the criteria that they have listed publicly. And it's deny, 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 deny. Somehow Josh was able to do it, though. I don't know how he pulled that off. But, you know, largely you get denied. My question is, all of a sudden, I've seen this multiple times where there'll be a band that's relatively new that they might have, you know, a couple thousand followers on the platform. And lo and behold, they've got the old blue check and they're signed to some sort of record company of note. Mm-hmm. And it makes you wonder, like, who's the who? Who's
right.
the person?
They're a band that started off in the UK back in the early 1960s.
Famous for
Roger
smashing
Daltrey,
instruments. Yes.
Peter Townsend, and of course, Keith Moon. And let's not forget John Entwistle on bass.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you.
Is that Pink Floyd?
I stretched that joke right out to its... No, no, that's the Who, Brian.
Oh, Who? Yeah, gotcha.
I did see an awesome clip, actually, earlier of Roger Daltrey showing how he worked out in the 1980s, but that's completely random. I think it has got a lot to do with your...
Fascinating.
with your
Tell
social...
No, no, actually.
Your social media agency's clout. And if you work for a record label, they have quite a lot of clout in getting those blue ticks, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's or checks, as you call them. I just keep thinking of money when you say that, but yeah.
But it's interesting. So like, there is a I think a deeper level of connection between the entertainment and social companies than maybe most people actually think about. And this TikTok article. We should probably pop a link to this in the Wampler Tone group. Once
I'll stick it on the
out.
Chasing Tone page as well when we publish this podcast.
Yeah.
But 100%.
They just come right out and say it. They're just like, yeah, we decide who we want to push through. 100%. So.
Yeah. And it is frightening to think that that's how the tastes of our young people are being marketed. I was thinking about this earlier today, thinking that, you know, sort of, our generation, if we class us all together, I know you're a little younger, our generation is the sort of first mass influenced by TV, advertised, and internet generation. And, you know, I always used to think of myself as pretty well versed at not being influenced by ads, but I totally am, which is why I'm about to go and eat my named brand plant-based meat. but, yeah. It's really scary how the tastes of everybody are being utterly filtered so that we all just go out and buy more Ed Sheeran and Taylor Swift records.
And buy Epiphone 335s, apparently.
Yeah, you're a bad person.
Epiphone.
I still haven't worked out how that's going to make Anna happier, but I'm taking your word for it, Bri.
I mean, you know what? What are they? I think you told me, happy husband, happy life.
No,
did you tell me that?
No. Happy wife, happy life.
Hey, you could always spin it this way. I could have bought a Gibson.
No, I will do one day, and so will Brian. This is a discussion that we've also had this
week. We'll have to say that for next week, because we actually had a long heart-to-heart this week about Epiphones versus Gibsons.
So next week we'll discuss that. We'll also discuss my fear of of Bird's Eye Maple Necks.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Oh, man. I want to talk about that.
Dang.
I have a genuine fear, and I own one, and I love it, but I'm fearful of it.
Got to write that down for next week. But, yeah. Appreciate you guys joining me this week.
I apologize. Sorry, listeners.
We'll try to do better next time.
Yeah, I was bad.
All right. Thanks for listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com. That goes straight to me. Email Blake, email info@tonemob.com. And Richard is richard@wamplerpedals.com. If you like this podcast, make sure to share it with your friends and others who might like it. If you'd like to show your support for the show, the simplest and free way to do that is just simply to share this with a friend. Maybe leave a review and a rating wherever you normally get your podcasts. Make sure to check out Blake's podcast called The Tone Mob. It's a great one as well. And make sure to check out Wampler Pedals, that's our website, for blogs, videos, and of course, our little toneful gadgets, our little pedals and amplifier. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.